Okay. How long are we going with this? I want to make sure.
Approximately two, but it'll tell you.
Okay, so I... Okay.
You don't have to be at two.
Okay.
As long as you don't miss your plane.
Oh,
yeah, what time is your plane?
My plane's not until 4.
Okay.
I just want to, if I see people dozing off, I'll speed up. Okay, governance. I've kind of dealt with all the open public meeting, open government stuff. What I really want to spend the balance of my time talking about is how to operate effectively as a board so that you all understand what your roles are and how to work together in a team-like fashion to get things done at the district. And one of the first things that I always like commissioners to think about, and I'm not going to put anybody on the spot here, but think about what is the commission's reputation in the community as it stands right now? What would the public say about this commission? And that helps you kind of inform your decision about what kinds of things might we do to improve that reputation not a great reputation. And also, why did you personally decide to become a commissioner? Everybody had a reason that they want to invest their time, that they could be doing something else, to serve on this board. Why is that? And then finally, what's the most challenging aspect of being a commissioner? Is it the time commitment? Is it the attending the meetings? Is it the reading the materials in advance to be informed? What is it? And work with that so you can be an effective commissioner. Again, I won't spend the time to call out on anybody on that, but just think about those things. One of the reasons we want to look at this is because it will make each of you individually more effective at what you are here to do. It'll also make the commission as a whole more effective. It'll allow you to do the business that you want to accomplish. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be disagreements and different ways of looking at things and different perspectives. There will be that. But hopefully, the goal is to have good debates about the issues, debates that don't involve personal attacks, debates that don't, that really are about the substance of the issues, so that you can have productive discussions and good decisions. It also allows you to hire good people. If you have a commission that is dysfunctional, when you go to recruit people to work for you, it's harder. I've seen this in practice. I've had clients before where the board is very dysfunctional, and it's well known, it's well advertised in a sense. And they've had trouble getting good quality people to work for them. So it really does help the organization as a whole for the board to work effectively. And frankly, it makes everybody's service and employment at the district much more rewarding and satisfying when there's a good team approach between the board and staff. Again, another exercise which I won't pick on anybody, but I ask you to think about kind of what makes a good commissioner, what makes a good staff person. I'm going to tell you kind of what I think as we go through this presentation, but you may have your own ideas, and that's fine. But let's talk about some of these things. So, individual commissioners. First of all, let me talk about the role of the individual commissioners, and then I'll talk about the commission from a board perspective. You are necessary and integral parts of the hospital district, of course. You're the elected officials, you're the individuals that the public has decided ought to be in charge of the hospital district. So you're the leaders of this, you are out in the community, and you're the kind of the face of the hospital district. So you have a very important individual role. However, when it comes to what your authority is individually, well, you don't have any. As you act as a board, your whole authority comes from acting together as a board and making a decision, what we termed final action long ago in this presentation, remember? So you have to operate together as a unit to govern the affairs of the district. No authority to act alone unless that authority has been delegated by the board. We talked about committees or something like that where two commissioners may be given authority to go out and do something on behalf of the commission. In that case, those commissioners have whatever authority has been delegated by the commission, and that's all. Short of that, short of serving on a committee like that, individual authority is nothing, which means nobody has the right to go down and no individual commissioner has the right to go down and direct staff to do anything. No individual commissioner has any other authority to undertake any action on behalf of the commission without the board's vote. All right, so the commission as a whole, however, if you have a board that is operating well and personal attacks and focuses on issues, you can achieve very amazing results as a board. One of the problems with commissioners, of course, is this is not ordinarily not your full-time job. You have other things that you do in your life. And so your time together is a very limited amount of time. I don't know how many hours you might spend a month. Some of you probably spend more than others. But you have one meeting a month, is that right? One regular meeting a month? That's your time together to talk about district business as a whole. It's a very limited time. And staff, in a lot of ways, look forward to that time because they need guidance from the commission to know how to do their job. Their job is dependent upon what the commission says. These are our goals. These are our policies. We want you to do these things. Staff looks, they're very eager to hear what the commission has to say. Where staff can get frustrated is when they don't have clear direction from the board. When your goals aren't clear, where you've got a divergence of opinions that never coalesce into any kind of direction at the end. That can be very frustrating for staff. So keep that in mind as we go along here. Again, your time is very limited when you get together. Make the most of your time at commission meetings. Take them seriously. Prepare for them in order to have good discussions on the issues that are in front of the commission. One of the things I always like to just mention briefly, because it's a good thing people always keep in their head, is the law of triviality. This was developed by C. Northcote Parkinson years ago. I can't remember when he lived exactly, but he came up with a law that I find is very, very true. The time spent on any item of the agenda will be in inverse proportion to the dollar sum involved. And he gave an example, and it's a hypothetical example, so I don't take this as gospel, but he talked about a board that had three issues on the agenda. One was the approval of an atomic reactor. The second item was the approval of a bike shed. And the third was the approval of a type of coffee to serve at commission meetings. And the first item, the atomic reactor, was so complicated, and they relied upon consultants and so forth to talk about that nobody understood it. It took all of about 10 minutes to decide. They moved on to the second issue, which was the bike shed. At that point, more people could understand that concept and the idea of what kind of materials would be appropriate for the roof. Should it be galvanized steel? Should it be metal? Should it be something else? And the discussion took up about an hour of their time. And how big should the bike shed be? How many bikes should it accommodate? And so forth and so on. And that was ultimately approved. But when they got to the topic of coffee, that was a subject that everybody understood. Everybody knew, everybody had an opinion on, everybody knew how it should be brewed, what strength, whether there should be additives, and so forth. And that discussion took up a full 2 hours, with the end result being that further direction was, or that the manager was directed to investigate the matter further and come back with some recommendations at the next meeting. Now, I know that sounds kind of funny, but you have seen this in practice. If you've ever watched enough commission council meetings, you've seen something like that. In fact, I was watching one on video last week, and I saw the exact same thing happen in practice, and I thought, oh, here you go. See, Northcote Parkinson had something there when he talked about that. So keep in mind, your commission meetings, you've got very limited time together. Make the most of those. Spend the bulk of the time on the issues that are most important. So, what do you need to do individually as a commissioner to kind of maximize the benefit that you can have in your contributions? Be informed. Okay, there's a packet of materials that's provided to you in advance of each meeting. Read the materials. understand them so that you can effectively participate at the meeting. If you have questions in advance, see if those questions can be answered in advance of the meeting. And we'll talk a little bit about how to do that. Being informed at the time you get to the meeting is important. It's important not only because it allows you to participate effectively without kind of getting up to speed on the spot, but it also shows the public that you guys all care about this job. You came here prepared to talk about the issues that are before the commission. It gives good public perception. It also allows the meeting to be run efficiently, so you don't have to have a four-hour meeting where a two-hour meeting might suffice. Leave things in better shape than when you arrived. I don't know, you all may have different ideas of where this commission's at in terms of its perception in the community and so forth. Your job as an individual commissioner is to try and leave this commission in better shape than when you arrived. And finally, govern before you manage a problem. Governance is kind of the big picture issues. Management is the day-to-day, the kind of the toiling that takes place to effectuate the policies and goals of the commission. Governance is a slow process. Govern slowly and deliberately. Most things aren't that urgent that come before the board. If something can't be decided this month, then maybe you can wait a month. Because the idea is to get something done correctly, not to get it done quickly. Realize that you are the keys to the success of the organization here. People are listening. The citizens listen to what's being said, and so you need to make sure that, again, you're acting responsibly, you're prepared, and that you're ready to talk about the issues, which I know that everybody who serves on this board has opinions about the issues that come before the commission. It's your job to participate effectively so that the best decisions can be made. And finally, one other thing that is extremely important is the culture of the organization. An organization such as this either sets its own culture or one just happens by default. Having it happen by default is not a good thing. You want to establish the culture. If the commission has well-run meetings, if it treats its staff appropriately with respect, if it works together as a team with its staff, that culture will lead to good results. If, on the other hand, staff is blamed for things that go wrong rather than the commission accepting responsibility, if there are personal attacks and that kind of thing, then the culture you set here trickles down. It happens to every organization. So it's very important to set the culture that you want. As an individual commissioner, you will from time to time know things that your other commissioners don't. We all come to something like this from different walks of life, different educational backgrounds. It's your opportunity to provide education at those times when you can contribute. Understand you're never going to make everybody happy. That's not your job to make people happy. It's also not your job to tick people off. It's your job to cooperate as part of a team. But in doing so, not everybody's always going to be happy. It's not a failure if you don't make everybody happy. You'll hear me talk more about this, but protecting the district's political bank account. Every agency has a political bank account. It's the account that allows you to do the things that you want to have done. When you go to the citizens and ask for a levy lid lift, if your political bank account is full, you get the benefit of the doubt. The citizens think that you are treating their funds responsibly, that you're doing what your job is. Even if they may not agree with that, they have trust in the commission to do the right thing. That political bank account is important when you want to get things done and you need the assistance of the citizens. And one other thing is, this is not an easy job. If it were easy, everyone would do it. It's not something that's self-explanatory, but you can learn how to become a good commissioner and part of a good team. Some of the things that I recommend that you do not do. First of all, do not freelance. And what I mean by that is resist the urge to do things on your own on behalf of the board, things that are really within the province of the board. give an example. I was at a commission meeting recently where a decision was being made on a vendor. The chief had gone out, done all of the research, and had come back to the board with a recommendation on using this particular vendor. And are you doing GMT? Are you participating in that? So it's GMT. You all know it. Ground Emergency Medical Transport. It's a way to get additional funds for Medicaid transports. There are really two vendors that can be used, AP Triton, that I know of at least, AP Triton and PCG. And the chief had recommended this one vendor. And a commissioner apparently had done some independent research and come in at the spur of the moment and said, well, you know, there are all these things that we should consider about this other vendor and so forth. Now, what is the commission to do with that information? It wasn't provided in advance. There was no opportunity to consider it. It's given on the fly. It really is not very useful to the commission to make a good informed decision. Why do you have a chief? You have a chief to be able to do that investigation and to make a recommendation so that you don't have to do all that independent research. And to do something such as that and then to come back to the board and say, well, you really ought to take this into account in the decision, it just doesn't work well. It's not appropriate. What about interacting with the union? Some commissioners think, well, I have a good relationship with the union members. I be able to go talk to them about these issues that they're having with the chief or with the organization. Again, that's very bad to do that because you've got a process for the union to deal with the organization. That is through the chief. And when you don't follow those protocols, then there just is not the consistency on the board that you need in order to deal effectively with the union. Another example would be where the board has discussed maybe a potential interlocal agreement with some other agency. Maybe, it's common with fire districts, for instance, to talk about a merger. But before the board has really decided that a merger is the direction they want to go, let's say one of the commissioners goes over and talks to the other agency and starts having this discussion about merger. Well, that's not good because this board hasn't even made the decision to do that yet. When the board's ready to engage in that discussion and move forward, it might be appropriate to set up a committee, go meet with the committee of that agency, and move forward in that fashion. But freelancing is a bad idea. It really splinters the board. It doesn't lead to good results. And it really bypasses the authority that you've given to your senior staff to do what it is that you want to do. It's frustrating for staff. I mean, I hear from fire chiefs all the time where, Commissioner so-and-so went out and did this, and now what am I had to do? Because, you know, he said some things that were out of, kind of different from the message that I've been transmitting. So, again, it's just something to be aware of. Clearly, don't meet offline and make decisions. We've got the Open Public Meetings Act for a reason. People expect you to do your business in public. By doing your business out in public, you build up that political bank account. All right. So don't meet offline and make decisions. I've got a couple pictures just so you have something in mind. When you have good teamwork, obviously you got a bunch of people here who are not working together. They're not going to make it very effective. Took a war team. But contrast that to the folks that are all working together, you can really achieve a lot more when you work together. So something I do want to ask the commission, and I will ask for some participation here, is because I want to know what are the priority areas for governance over, say, the next 5 years? I have some idea of what some priorities might be, but let me ask the commission, what are some of the important issues that the commission needs to address over the next few years? What are some big issues?
Well, certainly the possible merger with Fire District 3.
Right.
Ongoing support of community paramedicine program are two big ones, and certainly support of restoring services lost by the loss of the Life Care Center of America. In an indirect fashion, but certainly being participatory.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Think there are important issues that need to be addressed?
three.
Okay. All right. Well, let's keep those in mind then. Governance. What does that mean? Governance is very much different than management, but it's what you all are elected to do. It deals with the big decisions that are facing the organization. It's those decisions that aren't going to go away by ignoring them. You have to deal with these. These are what the people have elected you to do. The problem with governance is, from an individual standpoint, there's no measures of success, necessarily. I mean, it's not like being an employee, where you get evaluated and you know if you're doing a good job or doing a bad job. There are no real measures of success, no guidelines about how to do this stuff. But it is an important thing that needs to be done. So the difference between a commissioner and a manager are the following. And I use the term manager here because I know you've got a superintendent, you've got a chief, you really have two managers in a sense. But I just kind of make the terminology simple for this presentation, just use the term manager. The commission is the one that's going to think about the larger long-term issues, right? And what are our policies going to be? What's important for us? Let's say merging with fire, for instance, is a priority. What does that mean for our organization? What does it mean to not have these paramedics and EMTs as our employees? How will the community be served if we were to do that? Those are kind of the big issues that need to be addressed by the commission before you even decide, should we do that or not? Does that make sense for us? Once the commission has made the decision, that is an approach that we think would best serve the people within our district. Then it's the manager to decide or to carry out the intent of the board, to the extent that the board delegates that to the manager, to make that happen. That's going to involve a series of meetings and moving forward with an interlocal agreement ultimately in order to effectuate that. The commission, as the governing body, wants to provide that overall direction so that staff can do what the commission wants. And the manager seeks that kind of guidance. Without that clear direction, it's tough to be the manager, tough to understand what your job is and how you can do things effectively so that the commission is pleased with your work. The commission obviously wants to make the district a success, and staff is no different. The manager is very much wanting to see that happen as well. So those interests are aligned. The commission, as part of its governance, will articulate a vision of what it needs to happen, what it wants to do. A year from now, 5 years on down the road. I always suggest that you think about these things in a purposeful way, maybe at the first meeting of the year, maybe at some other meeting, maybe at a retreat. You think about those things, that if we accomplished these major topics, this year would be a success for us. And then you establish a strategic plan for how do we achieve what it is that we want to do. And if it's merging with fire so that the fire district has the EMS service, kind of how are we going to do that, and then give that direction to the chief. The other part of management, I'm sorry, of governance is to hire and evaluate the senior management. That's where you need to decide whether the people that you have employed for you are carrying out your goals and your policies, and if they're not, the way to govern is not to step in and do their job for them, but to find other people who can. It's always a very tempting thing to do is when your manager isn't doing what you want. It's always very tempting to start overstepping that bounds and start doing that work yourself, whereas the appropriate thing to do is to have people in those positions that work effectively. Governing through the budget is very important because that's where you really focus your management attention. That's the only place really where you focus your management attention. You look at everything in relationship to each other, the money that you have available to you, and you come up with priorities. All right, I think I've talked about this. I'm going to skip over a couple of slides here. One thing I do want to mention on this is resist the temptation, down at the bottom of this slide, as a member of the governing board, resist the temptation to become the direct pipeline on information. Again, kind of what I was saying before about a commissioner going out and doing independent research and coming back in and saying something about the vendor, or going out and talking to another agency and coming back and saying, hey, you know, this is what I found out. This is, again, another part of overstepping the balance between governance and management. Don't resist that temptation to become the direct pipeline on information. Leave that to the board to decide how we're going to acquire that information. It's very important that the delegation of authority to the manager is understood. I can't tell you how many times I've been called by a fire chief who said, do I have authority to do this? My answer is, well, let's look at your delegation of a powers resolution. Well, I don't know that I have one. Well, then how do we know what authority the chief, or in this case, the manager, has for the organization? A resolution ought to be a standard procedure for any elected body so that your managers know what they have the authority to do. What authority are you delegating to them? Do they have the authority, for instance, to sign a minor contract that has already, that there's a line item in the budget, it's within the budgetary limits, do they have the authority to sign that without coming back to the board for approval? Do they have, what else do they have the authority to do? We can talk about that if no such thing exists, but this is something that is, it gives staff assurance of what their job is and what they can do in order to carry out what the board needs. All right, how to be a team player on the board. All right, this is kind of where we get down into how to become an effective board. How does the board, work together? Well, it's important to, as I said before, keep out personal attacks. It's important to state views, but state them diplomatically. You are all, in a sense, diplomats. You, when you look at Congress on TV, we all think, I believe, we probably all think that things could be done better, that there could be less partisanship, that there could be more working together. I guess I've gotten to that age where I look back and say, what, things were so much better back then, where deals got done, despite differences of opinions. Everybody has differences of opinions. That's fine. That's why you have a diverse board. But there are ways to come together on decisions. Not every decision is going to be as important to you as it is to your fellow commissioner. Look for those decisions that are important to you and focus your attention on those. I'm not suggesting that anybody abdicate their strong feelings. I'm just saying have an intelligent and professional discussion about things. Don't let it be personal. And also important to this is letting people know when you compromise or you trust their judgment, because people tend to reciprocate when you do that. That leads to a very high-functioning board, is when people know that you sometimes trust their judgment and they likewise will trust yours. This next point is one of the most important points, I think, and that is respecting the decisions of the Board of Commissioners. It is very tempting when you are on the losing side of an argument and you felt very passionately about something to go out and to speak against the board. It's just a natural reaction, and it's not unique to any particular board. But in order for the board to work effectively, the commissioners have to support what the decision of the board is. Once the debate is done and the commission decision has been reached, then that decision deserves your support. I heard my partner, Frank Schmelick, who's been doing this a lot longer than I have, say recently to a director of an agency, the director just was very vehement that the commission was on the wrong track, that they were making the wrong decision. And my partner, said, you know how I've been a port commissioner for 30 years? I've done that because by knowing that the decision the commission reaches is always the correct decision. Make those decisions. That's not my role. That's not your role as the manager. You folks get to make the decision. that decision is by definition correct, and it deserves our support until such time as it comes back up again before the board, if it ever does, for another look. And so when I say this also applies to managers, lawyers, board secretaries, and any other manager, that means once a decision is made, we support it. I may personally disagree with the decision that the commission's made, but that doesn't affect the way that I represent that agency. That decision to me is the correct decision, and I will support it. And your staff will do that too as part of this team approach that I'm talking about. This last point kind of ties into that, and that is just understand that this is larger than any one decision. You may have strong feelings about certain decisions that come before the board, and you may feel that the board didn't make the best decision. But rarely would a decision be so important that you would allow it to fracture the commission. In other words, going to the newspaper to criticize the board or talking in the community poorly about individual board members, rarely is any decision so, you know, rarely would that justify doing that, because what the effect of it is to really harm the board. It fractures the board. It's tough to come back and have good discussions once people start going off on their own and undermining the board's decisions. So I want to emphasize that. I think that is a very important thing in any board, to keep the board together. Barriers to effective commission meetings. Well, first of all, lack of clarity about the distinction between management and governance it can be a problem. When the commission starts managing the organization, you've already admitted defeat. Keep in mind, your role is the bigger picture items. Leave it up to your good staff to carry out those directions. If you have inadequate information to participate effectively, well, you need to fix that. And that may mean that you communicate more with your staff to get the information you need in advance of the meetings. You need to be prepared. In order to be prepared, you need the background information. Another barrier to effective meetings is just not listening. Not listening to what other people are saying, or making assumptions about their motivations or their biases, attacking people personally as opposed to challenging their ideas about a particular issue. Those things lead to massive problems on boards, and urge you to deal with the issues that come before the board on a substantive basis, not a personal basis. Some kind of practical tips, meeting time considerations. I think you meet in the afternoons. Not all boards do that. It just depends on what's right for this board. But the meeting time can be a big issue for certain agencies. Establish the appropriate tone. A lot of agencies have the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of a meeting just to set some formality to the meeting. This is a government. There should be some formality. People should be on time, should start on time, people should be in their seats and ready to go. Remind people, I see your sign up here, it's a good sign, turn off your cell phones. I remember when I was first doing this, I would go down to a meeting down south, and there was always a notice on the agenda at the top that says, "Please, gentlemen, please remove your hats." I like that. It's like, okay, that's no offense, sir.
No, I'm taking it.
I like that as part of just let's take this seriously. Okay, agenda items. So I don't know if you do this. Do you do a consent agenda ordinarily?
Yeah.
Perfect. For items that require a lot of discussion, PowerPoint presentations, or some kind of formal presentation is often useful for providing the information necessary for the commission to make a good decision. You can have work sessions where you're not going to take any action, but you just need to get a lot of information that staff or your consultants need to provide. Think about work sessions if you have any issues like that, like this merging with fire, for instance, might be good for a work session or a retreat. Read the motion followed by a discussion just to keep things orderly and stick to the agenda. Those things help the meeting run effectively. it's important for the chair to keep the discussion limited to the item that's currently being discussed, rather than letting that discussion jump around all over the place to keep people on track. Some agencies will have an agenda item for the report from the local union, just because the local sometimes likes to have a pathway. They don't always have a report. Many meetings I go to, they don't have anything to say, but you may want to think about that, just so that the local has an opportunity to speak directly to the commission. Because what I said before is, you know, about speaking to individual commissioners, I think is a bad idea. This at least gives the local a voice and does so in an organized fashion. Public comment, we've talked about those issues before. Just need to think about what makes sense from your standpoint to not let public comment get out of hand. Okay, then, the commission chair has a particular role that's different than the other commissioners. The chair needs to keep control over the meeting, to keep the meeting running according to the agenda, to draw out opinions, and hopefully to achieve some kind of consensus. It's not always possible to do that, and it, with contentious issues, it probably won't be. But it's the job of the chair to let everybody have their say, and not to let one person just to usurp the floor, so to speak, but to allow everybody to have a chance for input, to do it in an organized fashion. It's hard to do when the chair also wants to have a voice. But some of the best running meetings I've seen are where people who are raising their hands, they want to speak, we write down who it is that wants to speak, we go along in a line, let everybody have their say, and then if anybody else wants to speak again, go through that again. But everybody gets the opportunity for input before a decision is made, rather than just jumping around. What I've seen happen in some really dysfunctional commission meetings where people just blurt out things. There's no control that's exerted by the chair over who speaks at any one time. It's just kind of a free-for-all. Those tend to, those are not nearly as effective as some of these others that I've talked about. The chair also is the principal liaison with the senior management, which means that the chair decides what is important for to come before the board to be decided upon. Not every item requires a decision to be made and does not need to be brought before the board. The chair helps set that agenda with input from staff. The chair also is, and I don't have that on here, but one of the things that that the chair can do is decide what's appropriate for staff work. In a couple of situations, I've seen very involved commissioners, let's say, go directly to staff, say, I need this, I need that, and staff have become quite frustrated because staff wants to work for the commissioners. And even though a commissioner has no independent power, it's tough to say no to a commissioner who walks into their office and says, I need you to do this, which means that person may need to drop what they're doing in order to serve that commissioner. The commission as a whole needs to decide, look, we are going to abide by this principle, which is if we need staff to do something, if I as a commissioner don't have enough information on this issue that we're going to be voting on next week, I get in touch with the chair and say, look, here's what I think we ought to get put into our commission packet. The chair then decides if that's appropriate and goes to the staff to get that done, so that there is a clear pipeline for who directs staff and what that direction should be. When you have commissioners that can directly contact staff here and there, it's incredibly hard for staff to do their job. So one of the things that you may want to discuss as a commission. Again, I've said this before, but I think that treating each other with respect and the chair is kind of empowered to protect individual commissioners from personalized comments because of the role that the chair has. The chair should also exercise some control to avoid pop quizzes. One of the things that staff don't like is when a commissioner gives pop quizzes during a commission meeting. It makes staff look ineffective. It can be embarrassing if staff doesn't know the answer. If you have questions, those questions should be answered ahead of time. And again, through that process I mentioned, talk to the chair. The chair then directs staff to get some answers so that those issues can be handled effectively. Same thing goes for grandstanding. Sometimes you'll get a commissioner who wants to just, because the issue is important or whatever, want to make a big deal of things. That's not really the role of a commissioner. The role is to try and convince your other commissioners about this issue that you have strong feelings about, but to do it in a way that you're really discussing the issue substantively rather than making kind of a public display of grandstanding. The chair should try and seek a balance between consensus and dissension. Some issues will be more difficult for that, some will be easier, but that is certainly the goal. All right, I think I've addressed those issues on this on that slide. I'm going to move over to budget-based governance. And budget-based governance just means that you look at everything in context when you do your budget. You hopefully have done a good job throughout the year of determining what your priorities are. Your budget is your opportunity to give to assign a dollar value to each of those priorities and determine what are we really going to do this year, what's it going to cost to achieve this. That's the one area of the year where you should devote most of your time. That is a very important job of creating the budget. It will allow meetings throughout the balance of the year to go more smoothly because the question becomes, is this in the budget? Did we already consider this? If so, then we really don't have to consider it again. There's no second bite at the apple. And it's not within the budget, then there better be a good reason. Why do we need it? This, you know, because we took into account everything in priority, in relative priority at the beginning when we developed the budget. So I think kind of the process of developing the budget is one of the more important things you do as a board. What about the role of staff at your meetings? You always have staff present to assist you through the meetings. They should be there to answer questions, but what can they really be expected to know? They should be expected to be conversant in the items that they're presenting. So anything that's on the agenda, and they should be able to explain that. But if you have questions that have not been, that are kind of off topic or unrelated, a little bit off to the side, those things should be addressed before the commission meeting starts so that staff has an opportunity to get answers. What kinds of things should be off limits? Well, obviously personal criticisms and personal attacks, things that aren't pertinent to the agenda. What happens when there is kind of a pop quiz of staff and there's an answer, you know, the staff doesn't have the answer? Well, the appropriate response is, we'll get you an answer. Or we can schedule this for a work study session if it's one of those things that is in need of more detailed discussion. But again, it's important to get your questions in early so that the meeting can be run effectively. One last thing I want to talk about is the manager, the interface between the board and the manager. So the manager is a paid employee of the district, but is a consequence of our FLSA being exempt from overtime laws. Overtime is due to the manager when they have to work long hours. But keep in mind that hard work has its limits. And if you want good staff and you want to build a team, you got to keep in mind the impositions that you're making on staff, particularly when they're working hard for you. The manager should be the contact between the liaison between the employees and the commission. So when you have the manager, if they're doing an effective job, will go to the employees and let the employees know direction that the commission has set, and will speak in conjunction with what the commission has directed. In other words, they don't speak out of school. They, whether they agree with the commission or not, they support the commission's decisions, support the culture of the commission. They keep the commissioner's confidence. There are things that you will learn as a manager which are in confidence, and they will keep those confidences. And that's important for the commissioners, too, when you are in executive sessions, and I don't have a slide on this, but I did want to mention it. This is probably the best time to do that. Information you learn in executive session is confidential. It's confidential because there's a statute that says this discussion is exempt from the Open Public Meetings Act. We have a different statute called the Code of Ethics for Municipal Officers. And confidential information cannot be disclosed. It is a breach of your ethical duties to disclose that information. So it can be tempting at times, depending on what the information is, but it is something you really need to avoid. Not only is it against the law, but it's also just bad practice. I mean, how do you expect people to speak honestly and truthfully in an executive session if the next thing is there's a leak? It's just impossible. So this bit about keeping confidentiality of things that are supposed to be confidential applies both to commissioners as well as the manager. The manager, I understand that the manager has a tough job because the manager is trying to manage the people underneath the manager, the union employees, volunteers, part-time employees, as well as the public, and also trying to carry out what the commission wants. So the manager has challenges, and in order to do that job effectively, the manager will need adequate direction from the commission. It needs to be clear, and the manager, it's up to the manager to let the commission know when that direction is not clear, which is not always an easy thing to do, but it's imperative in order to do a good job. Last thing on there is something I always think is important to say. The manager must march off smartly after he's had a full and fair opportunity for input. In other words, this goes back to the example I gave a little while ago. The manager may not always agree with the board, but it's the manager's job to do what the board has directed. And it's their job to give their input, but then to basically do what the commission has directed. Clear delegation of powers resolution, I've mentioned that before, so I don't need to repeat that. And I've talked about not managing for the manager. If the manager's not doing a good job, part of your job as a commission is to get somebody in there who can manage appropriately. Manager formal evaluations, this is absolutely key. You can't expect a manager to know if they're doing a good job or not unless you do formal evaluations from time to time. And I don't know if there's a time frame which you typically do those, but if there's not, I suggest that that's something that you ought to think about doing so that your manager knows. Where does the manager need to change things? Where are they doing a good job? Where would the commission like to see changes? Political bank account, again, just a re-emphasis on that. Whether you realize it or not, you, as every other government out there, has a political bank account. Think of it in this way. When you go to the ballot box, or in other words, when you get your ballot anymore through the mail, and you see a measure on there from a school district, for instance, or from a fire district, or from any agency that wants something from you. They want money. They want you to increase their levy, or they want you to approve a bond, or something like that. Ask yourself, what do you think about? Well, you know, that district does a great job. I think that they're on the right track. You go through that process in your own mind. That's that political bank account that I've been talking about. And it's the same for the public hospital district, so that when you want the benefit of the doubt, if you've got a healthy bank account, political bank account built up, you'll have that benefit of the doubt. Well, how can you squander that political bank account? You can spend a lot of effort building it up. You can build it up by basically doing good things, well-run meetings, having a good perception by the public about what you're doing, not making personal attacks and that kind of thing. But you can squander your political bank account easily enough by having poorly run commission meetings, or when you have violations of open government laws, or you have bad employment practices that lead to costly lawsuits, or bad customer service. Poor responses to public records requests, or poor customer service in other ways. You get bad press, or you have an audit finding, or misuse district resources. And those kinds of things can tend to deplete your political bank account. So you do the best you can to build that up and to maintain it. That's what you need to do. Key points is just things that I've talked about, just a kind of a summary of the highlights. I know I'm a half hour late. I sped through that a little bit at the end, but I didn't want anybody to fall asleep before, not on my watch.